Hello, and welcome back to the Wisdom Journey, where we're traveling through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 3 years. Our teacher, Stephen Davey, is the president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. That school is located in Cary, North Carolina. This is Lesson 5 in our journey, a lesson Stephen's calling Forbidden Fruit. When God created us, He placed us in a perfect garden. How can people living in a perfect environment give in to temptation so easily and so quickly? Well, we have to lay some of the blame at the feet of the great tempter, Satan. His temptation was subtle and its execution flawless. As we look at that temptation today, we'll learn some principles we can use to avoid temptation in our lives. So let's pray as we begin. Father, temptation is our universal experience. Teach us today how to better overcome it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's Stephen with today's message from Genesis 3.
Well, we've discovered thus far in our wisdom journey that God created all that is, including the Garden of Eden, this beautiful, peaceful paradise. Have you ever wondered why the world we exist in is anything but a peaceful paradise? Why didn't we inherit the Garden of Eden from Adam and Eve? Well, the answer is found now in Genesis chapter 3, where we're finding our wisdom journey for the day. And this is one of the most tragic chapters in all of human history. In verse 1, we read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made." Now, this particular serpent doesn't really need an introduction. He just shows up in the garden when Eve is evidently alone. And we're told here in the text that he was crafty. That Hebrew word means sly and cunning. My friend, you give him the key to your back door, and he's so crafty, he will soon own your house and you'll be out on the curb. Well, this crafty serpent, obviously inhabited by Satan, shows up. And keep in mind that this temptation is taking place when Eve has perfect living conditions. She has peace with God. She has a wonderful marriage to Adam. She has amazing harmony with creation that surrounds her. I mean, this is paradise. Listen, nobody who chooses to sin can claim it's because they lack some advantage, whether it's a nice house, a good education, the right family, a positive environment. They can't argue that if life were easier or better, they wouldn't have chosen to sin. Just look at Eve. She has everything going for her, yet she's going to rebel against her loving Creator God. Frankly, my friend, none of us will ever be any match against Satan. We're never too big to be deceived. That's why the Apostle Paul warns us not to be ignorant of Satan's tempting devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. So let's watch here and learn in Genesis 3, because Satan is going to make 5 strategic moves in tempting Eve, and he's going to do many of the same things with us today. First of all, Satan shows up in a form that disarms Eve. He shows up in the garden possessing a serpent. Verse 1, in fact, this is the ordinary Hebrew word for snake. Now just remember, before sin entered the world, there wasn't any need to fear animals. The relationship between animals and humans was harmonious, not dangerous. And Eve doesn't seem to be surprised by a talking serpent here, which implies that before sin entered the world, some animals may have been able to communicate. But Satan is possessing this serpent, so he's in control of this animal as it converses with Eve. The second thing he does is he raises doubt in Eve's mind. It says here in verse 1, "Satan said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. In other words, did God really say that this one little tree is off limits? I mean, isn't that a little strange, Eve? What's wrong with one little tree? Did God literally say that? You know, Satan's been casting doubt on God's word ever since. Eve replies here in verse 2, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" In other words, yes, that's exactly what God said. Now, by the way, it's not recorded for us that God directly told Eve anything about this tree. We do know that God gave Adam this warning in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17 before Eve was even created. You see, this is part of Adam's spiritual leadership. So Eve heard this from God through Adam. And she was evidently a good listener because she basically quotes back to Satan what Adam told her God had said. Now, there are some who look at this text and say that Eve exaggerated God's command and showed disrespect to his word by adding that they weren't allowed to touch the tree. God didn't say that they couldn't touch the tree back in Genesis 2:17. But I personally believe Adam added that precaution, not out of disrespect, but to keep Eve as safe as possible. In other words, he's saying to her, Eve, don't eat from it. Don't even get near it. Don't even touch it. He loves her. He doesn't want to lose her. And he certainly doesn't want her to die. Satan's strategy of raising doubt in Eve's mind about God's word evidently doesn't work. So Satan follows up with a third strategic move. He now outright denies any danger to Eve. In verse 4, the serpent says to the woman, "You will not surely die." In other words, Eve, what do you mean you're going to die? I mean, come on, don't you think after all the trouble God went through to create you, he's going to get rid of you? You're not going to die? I think if he could, the serpent would be smiling with some reassuring smile right about now. Well, God said back in chapter 2 and verse 17, "Eat from this and you shall surely die." Satan says in chapter 3 and verse 4, "Eat of it and you will not surely die." And in case you're wondering, my friend, God always tells the truth. Satan never does. He's the father of lies. John 8:44. But again here, Eve stands her ground. She doesn't reach for the fruit. So Satan takes another strategic step in this temptation. And this one worked. He accuses God of being unfair to Eve. In verse 5, Satan says this, "God knows that when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." In other words, listen, Eve, God's being selfish. He's not playing fair. He's not as good to you as he could be. He's holding back from you. How many have listened to that temptation? The tempter might be whispering in your mind these days, God is keeping something good from you. He's not playing fair. He would do more for you if he really cared about you. My friend, those are all lies straight out of the Garden of Eden. Satan moves quickly now to make his fifth and final step in deceiving Eve. He promises her that sinning will bring fulfillment. He tells her here in verse 5, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, you'll be right up there with God. You'll be just as wise and discerning as God. You'll be able to distinguish between good and evil. You're going to know everything God knows. You'll be independent. You'll be free to think and to act on your own, Eve. Well, verse 6 tells us that at this point, Eve steps forward and takes a closer look. That's a dangerous sign. The Bible sadly records here that when the woman saw the tree was good for food, this was the physical lure, and that it was a delight to the eyes, this was an emotional lure, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, that's the intellectual lure, she took of its fruit and ate. Did she become like God? No. She actually became like Satan, who himself had tried to become like God early on. And now she turns to her husband, who evidently just showed up, and she becomes the tempter. Adam, eat this. In other words, let's be independent of God together. And the Bible records here in verse 6, she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The sound of them chewing on that fruit has echoed all the way down through human history to this very moment. Let's do whatever we want to do with our own lives. If it looks good, if it feels good, if it seems satisfying, let's eat our fill of sin whenever we want. Let's act independently of God and His Word and ignore His warning. What was the result? Well, Adam and Eve are soon going to learn they've lost their special communion with God. They're going to lose their innocence. They're even going to lose their unity in marriage. And did they become as wise as God, Satan had promised? No. Were they immediately and completely fulfilled? No. In fact, now they're empty. They gain nothing by sin, and neither do we. Because of the impact of this original sin, we will never be able to enjoy what Adam and Eve lost. Not now, not ever, unless something happens. And I got to tell you, something will. That's next time on our Wisdom Journey. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope this look at the temptation of Adam and Eve has better equipped you to deal with the temptation in your life. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is taking you through all 66 books of the Bible over the span of 3 years. This is Lesson 5, called Forbidden Fruit. Before we go, I want you to know that we have a free ebook on our website this month called Do Babies Really Go to Heaven When They Die? That ebook is available this month at wisdomonline.org. Have a great weekend and join us again Monday on The Wisdom Journey.